Welcome to the deep dive, where we really try to dig into the sources and pull out the interesting stuff.
That's the goal.
Today feels quite personal, actually. We're exploring digital gardens, and specifically, we're using Phil Warnaff's own site as our main guide.
His perspective is really illuminating on this topic, I think.
So our mission, basically, is figuring out why build this kind of online idea garden now, with social media being so, fast.
And what even is it? What makes it different from, say, a blog?
Right. And how is Phil Warnath doing it? His methods, his setup.
We'll look at his motivations definitely and what this might mean for, well, for you, for how anyone manages knowledge online today.
Yeah, get ready for some maybe surprising ideas. Might even change how you think about your own online stuff, especially what you leave behind.
That legacy question is pretty central to Warnath's thinking.
Okay, let's dive in. Phil Warnath, he starts by looking back, right? To his blogging days, like back in the 2010s.
Yeah, and then the shift. YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, Medium,
Yeah.
all those platforms.
He says the horizon got scattered, more fast-paced, and short-lived. That really captures it, doesn't it?
It does. And how content had to shine now only to vanish tomorrow. That pressure.
And feeling like it wasn't really his anymore, handed over to algorithms.
Well, that feeling is definitely not unique to him. It resonates widely.
You mean like that BBC piece from 2025?
Exactly. Why did our friends stop posting on social media? It noted that posting itself, actual personal posting, is way down.
Because feeds are just full of brands and influencers now.
Pretty much. Kyle Cheka in that interview said it went from being social to more about consuming commodified content than relating to friends and family. Ouch.
Yeah. So moving to a digital garden, it's partly rejecting that fleeting stuff, pushing back.
But for Phil, it goes deeper. There's a really poignant reason, too.
Ah, you mean about the person who passed away in 2020?
Yes,
Yes.
whose legacy included this large bookshelf. It really made him think.
Data Mass, and this is a quote. What besides my actions on this planet would I leave behind? An Instagram profile.
It's a stark question, isn't it? He wanted something more substantial, a library of life for his loved ones.
And to be able to see that for his friends too, like a summary of what moved them, that's
Yeah.
really something.
It taps right into this big question about digital legacy. What actually lasts? What's meaningful?
So Phil's garden is his answer, a slower, more durable way to share ideas.
Explicitly, without chasing the algorithm, without relying on platforms. That's key.
And he has this long-term mission, right? To be part of something bigger.
Yeah, an interoperable, decentralized, easy-to-use network, advocating for more conscious consumption and creation for stronger bonds between us.
It sounds like a total flip from standard publishing. Focus on self, on growth, not just the audience.
The audience is almost secondary, or maybe a byproduct, which is like radical today.
Okay, so that's the why. A pretty compelling why, but what actually is this digital garden thing he's building?
Right, the definition. It's gained traction, this term, but it's not quite a blog, not quite a
A
notebook.
different.
Well, fundamentally, it's an online space for cultivating personal knowledge, letting it grow over time.
Maggie Appleton talks about this.
She does. In her Growing the Evergreens notes, she mentions Andy Matushak's idea of evergreen notes.
Evergreen notes. What's the core idea there?
It's about building cumulative personal knowledge. Not just capturing info, but building on it. Like Niklas Luhmann's Zettelkasten method.
The linked index card system.
Exactly. Appleton uses terms like seedlings for raw ideas, then budding as they connect, and finally evergreens, the mature, stable thoughts.
That cumulative part, things evolving. That sounds way different from a blog post you just publish and forget.
Totally. It sounds liberating, right, for the author.
Phil Warnath mentions Tim Rodenbrooker as an influence.
Yes, and Rodenbrooker calls the digital garden a digital refuge, a retreat to get in touch with your own ideas.
So it's often a website, but maybe a bit messy, like a chaotic blog.
Yeah, unfinished bits, notes, ideas, all developing. Sometimes they merge, become essays. He has that lovely line.
Which one?
Each text document is considered to be like a plant that can grow.
Ooh, I like that. A plant that can grow.
And connecting to that, Tom Critchlow's quote, which Rodenbrooker also uses, really nails it.
What does Critchlow say?
With blogging, you're talking to a large audience. With digital gardening, you're talking to yourself. It's about your own focus, long term.
So, talking to yourself, but publicly.
Kind of. Nest Labs puts it at the intersection of a notebook and a blog. Notes are evergreen, always being edited, refined, not decaying.
And linking is important. Lots of internal links.
Crucial, bi-directional linking, ideally, or at least lots of internal links, lets people follow these trails of ideas.
So it's like seeing someone's thought process unfold.
Exactly. It's okay for it to be a work in progress. FunkNote says it's your personal collection of ideas, a place to collect the dots.
Sharing your understanding now, even if it's not perfect.
Right. Permission to get messy. It's less performative, like a captain's log, not a broadcast.
Your own little corner of the internet. No pressure for answers.
But, you know, Maxwell Forbes brings up a good counterpoint later about that messiness. Does it make it hard for readers?
Ah, the reader experience. We'll definitely get to that. But first, let's look at Phil's garden specifically. How does he actually do it?
Okay, yeah. His practice, his posts, he calls the harvest of my ideas. These are the things that grew from sketches into, you know, essays, case studies, talks.
And he uses that pre-metaphor again.
He does. Each post is a branch from the same trunk. Design, mobility, technology, society, resilience, and expects updates as they grow rings.
I love that, grow rings. And he explicitly says why trees, right?
Yep. They're alive. They take seasons. They carry memory. I'd rather cultivate durable thinking than chase the feed. It's very intentional.
That really makes the concept concrete, doesn't it? So what about his links section?
That's the seeds to my inspiration. He calls it a living library for friends, family, his kids eventually.
And it's not just bookmarking, you said. It's a whole process.
Right. Quite involved. Saves articles using the Obsidian Web Clipper.
Which lets you grab web stuff into the Obsidian app.
Yeah. Then he uses AI Google's Notebook LM to enrich them, get summaries, key insights.
Wow. Okay. And keeps them offline, too.
For his Kindle, yeah. And then republishes them as recommended links in his garden. It's active curation.
Okay, this next part sounds really unique. The navigation, especially for the links.
The graph view. Yeah, that's fascinating. It visually shows how topics are connected, their closeness. Like paths in a forest, he says.
Paths in a forest. And he tells you to explore by feeling.
Uh-huh. Calls it less about convenience, more about wandering.
Think Amazonas with a machete. That's memorable.
Yeah. Slower than a feed, but richer in serendipity.
Okay, Amazonas with a machete. It sounds exciting, maybe a bit daunting. Is the point to get lost, or is there a hidden map?
I think the point is the wandering. It's a deliberate choice against the easy scroll. An invitation to find unexpected connections.
Like seeing how systems connect to society, AI to craft, bikes to cities, ideas pollinating.
Exactly. It's a whole different mode of engagement. And technically, it's self-hosted in the EU, notes in Obsidian offline, hand-built. Mm-hmm. It's all very controlled and personal.
This fits into that whole PKM trend, doesn't it? Personal knowledge management.
Definitely. Tools like Obsidian, Roam, Notion. That's what Stax calls PKM 3.0. Connected knowledge. Linking ideas together.
And Phil, using AI for summaries. That's the next step.
It hints at it. Stax calls that AI-enhanced PKM 4.0. Using AI to help manage and connect the knowledge. We're sort of entering that phase now.
So the garden concept sounds great. Phil's execution seems really thoughtful. But it can't be perfect, right? Are there downsides?
Oh, absolutely. And Maxwell Forbes offers a really honest critique in his piece, in Praise and Critique of Digital Gardens.
What was his experience?
Well, like Phil, he loved the idea initially. Low friction, liberating. His own garage notes kind of stayed isolated. Polished posts still felt like hard work.
So the maintenance, the actual gardening, is still effort.
It is. And Forbes raised that crucial point about the reader experience you mentioned.
Right. He said he didn't actually enjoy reading other people's gardens.
Yeah, he admits it. Found Maggie Appleton's site amazing, but struggled to find the real content among all the fragments.
Bits and pieces everywhere.
He worried the garden can become a swamp if everything, seedlings, half-thoughts, finished pieces, gets equal treatment. Hard to filter, hard to know what's done.
That makes sense. You might not know if you're reading a fleeting note or a core idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And is the author's preferred terminology for finished even clear to the reader?
That phrase he uses, sacrificing readers' ergonomics for the author's, that's a sharp criticism.
It is. And he also questions the intense focus on linking and tags.
Why? Isn't that the point? Connecting ideas.
For the reader, he argues, it can just be cognitive overload. Feels like a to-do list, maybe. Not a smooth read.
And for the writer.
He suggests the brain makes connections anyway, and tagging can just become busy work. Does it truly deepen the thinking, or just look complex?
Interesting. Like the tools could overshadow the actual thought.
It's a real tension. Tools like Obsidian do make it easy to publish incrementally, as Matt Broberg points out. Growth over perfection.
But the public side needs thought.
Right. Rutenbrooker has his clouds, drops, and plants system. Appleton has seedlings to evergreens, ways to potentially signal maturity.
And Phil Warneth's graph view and explore by feeling, that's his way of tackling it.
It seems like a deliberate design choice, yes. It sets expectations differently. It's not trying to be fast info. It's inviting patient exploration.
Okay, so digital gardens are clearly a big step in personal knowledge. But looking even bigger picture, how does AI change things?
That Stacks article, The Future of Personal Knowledge Management in an AI-First World, lays it out really well.
It maps the evolution.
Yeah. PKM 1.0 was physical stuff, notebooks, files. 2.0 was basic digital filing folders on a computer.
Then 3.0 is the connected knowledge era where digital gardens sit, Obsidian, Rome, linking everything.
Right. And now we're moving into 4.0, AI-enhanced PKM using AI assistance, and heading towards 5.0, integrated AI-first knowledge.
Where AI is fundamental, not just an add-on.
Exactly. It potentially reshapes the whole process.
So Phil, using Google's Notebook LM to enrich notes fits right into this 4.0 idea.
Perfectly. Stacks talks about big shifts happening, moving from just organization to deeper understanding of your own knowledge.
And from just finding stuff retrieval to having a conversation with your knowledge base.
Oh, right. And from doing everything manually to having much more automatic knowledge management, like having a smart assistant built in.
That sounds powerful.
It could be. AI systems aim to automate capturing, organizing, connecting, surfacing info, reducing the busy work Forbes mentioned.
Imagine, like Stack suggests, AI finding that statistic you vaguely remember reading weeks ago.
Or connecting insights from notes you never explicitly linked yourself, but are conceptually related.
Yeah.
Right when you need it.
That could turn a digital garden into something almost alive, an intelligent ecosystem.
Potentially. But there are big challenges too, of course.
Such as?
Privacy, security. Huge ones. The risk of cognitive offloading, letting the AI do too much thinking for us.
Losing our own critical skills.
Yeah. And balancing automation with our own control. Interoperability, making sure different systems can talk to each other. And just basic trust and verification. Can we rely on the info and connections the AI makes?
Lots to consider for anyone building a garden and thinking about AI.
Definitely. Crucial questions moving forward.
Wow. Okay, what an amazing journey through this digital garden idea. From Phil Warneth's very personal quest for legacy
to this much bigger picture of BKM and AI.
It really shows how these spaces can be an antidote, maybe, to the fast, fleeting nature of a lot of the web, a place for ideas to actually grow.
It highlights that shift, doesn't it?
Yeah.
From just consuming passively to actively cultivating your own understanding, your own knowledge.
Whether that's through evergreen notes or linking or graph views or even bringing in AI tools.
The underlying goal seems to be making knowledge more personal, more connected, more meaningful to you.
So as we wrap up, maybe something for you, the listener, to think about. In this digital age, what does your knowledge system look like? How does it contribute to your legacy, if at all?
That library of life idea from Phil Warneth, what would yours contain?
And could these digital garden ideas, maybe even with AI, help you cultivate that legacy more consciously? Not just for you, but maybe for others down the line.
Food for thought, definitely.
Thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive. Hope this gave you plenty to cultivate in your own thinking.